John chapter 7. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. I want you to get your Bible out, get it open, get ready to use it. We're going to use it some. And I want to help you tonight. I don't have a fancy title. It's called Yielding to the Holy Spirit. But I want to help you tonight. Probably the most practical of all the lessons thus far will be tonight. But maybe one of the most needed. The others were the foundation for this point. Here we go. John chapter 7. Let's start reading in verse number 37. John chapter 7, verse number 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit," notice that S, capital S, "which they believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Look at me. The Bible says here that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit comes after the resurrection of Jesus. That is when all believers became indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, that was a prophecy that it was going to take place. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 20. Jesus has died. He has resurrected. And here he is appearing to the disciples. I want you to notice verse number 22. John chapter 20, verse 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now look at me. They had already been saved. I must review just for a moment to help you understand. When a person gets saved, before they get saved, they're a lost person. Man is body, soul, spirit. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Man who is lost is body and soul, and his spirit is dead. That's why God told Adam, "The day thou sinnest, thou shalt surely die." Did his body die? No, it did not. Did his soul die? No, it did not. But his spirit died. And when a person gets saved, in John chapter 3, Jesus spoke to a rich politician named Nicodemus, and he said, "Nicodemus, you need to be born again." He said, "Wait a minute. How can I be born again? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "No, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Your spirit has to be reborn by the Holy Spirit of God. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God takes residency in the heart of the believer. He regenes, he regenesizes, the Bible uses the word regeneration. He regenerates your spirit. Now it becomes an eternal spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit is God. And because he is eternal, your spirit then can never die. That's a promise of eternal life. I don't get mad at people that say, "Since Jesus came into my heart." But it's not scripturally correct. Jesus doesn't come into your heart. Jesus paid the price for you to receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Told you, you're going to use your Bible, so hang in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Wow. Your body is the temple or the housing or the body of the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to me very carefully. The moment you get saved, you got all of the Holy Ghost. You got it all. He moved inside of you. He took up residency. That means you can never die and go to hell. Your spirit must go to heaven. That's why you can't lose your salvation. You weren't born of your works. You were born by the blood of Jesus Christ and received the Holy Spirit. Now, I like to say it this way. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit gave you God's buffet. I like thinking about food. Amen. When you got saved, the buffet of everything that God has became available to you through the Holy Spirit. Now, you might not like everything on the food buffet, but it's all available to you. You might not want everything on the food buffet, but it is all available to you. You might not like trying new things, but those new things are there for you if you choose to do them. Now listen to me. One price was paid, all of it is available. Watch this. Even though it's all available, you decide what you get. Did you catch that? You decide what you get. This is exactly the way it is with the Holy Spirit. One price is paid, it's all available, but you decide how much of the Holy Spirit you make available in your life. You are the one that chooses on the buffet line how much of what you get. It's all available. It's all been paid for. You see, listen to this. The average Christian thinks that once they get saved, that God becomes their waiter. And he comes to their table and takes their order, goes back and brings it to the table and says, "Here you go." God says, "Uh-uh. I have filled a buffet for you. You get up off your carcass and go get what you want. I'm not serving it to you." See, some of you are upset with God because he's not serving your table. You're at a buffet, baby. You're not at a high-class restaurant. You don't have a maitre d'. You have a Golden Corral, amen? Well, that's better than Ryan's. I like them both. You have to get up and serve yourself. It's not you choosing from a menu. It's not somebody serving you. It is you getting up to the buffet and getting what is available to you. By the way, you decide what you want. Do you know that when I go to a buffet, I don't have to eat something I don't want to eat? I've been to a buffet and they got boiled cabbage there. There's little in life that stinks worse than boiled cabbage. And when it smells like it came out of a diaper and it doesn't have any different texture, why would anybody want to put it in their mouth and swallow it? I don't understand. Now you go right next to it and they got the fried okra, pile it up high. Now not the boiled stuff, because that's just like boiled cabbage. Now wait a minute. You decide what you get. Now, here in John chapter 20, verse 22, and in John chapter 7, verse number 39, I believe, both times it said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," or the Holy Ghost. Wait a minute. They were already saved. It wasn't the act of salvation. That word "receive" means accept. It means yield. It means choose what of it you're going to use. When you go to the buffet and you sit down at Golden Corral at the table, the price was already paid. Everything up there is available, from the stupid cotton candy and all the stuff at the one end to the real stuff, the steaks and the shrimp and the Bourbon Street chicken and the fried chicken and the mushroom, you know, all that, everything in between. You can even go down to the rabbit inn and eat the green stuff. You can eat the salads and all that kind of stuff. You say, "What do you do at a buffet?" Why fill your gut on salad? You can buy that stuff anywhere, man. If I'm going to go eat at the buffet, let's fill up on the meat and the taters and all that kind of stuff, amen? I can eat like a rabbit later. Now, wait a minute. You choose what you receive at that buffet. The price was already paid. Do you know that the person sitting next to you doesn't have to eat one thing alike to what you eat? But the same price was paid. You know that some will eat more than others? Let's shut up about that one. This is the same truth in reference to the Holy Spirit. You have the same Holy Spirit of God available to you that is available to me. You have as much of the Holy Spirit of God available to you as I do to me. Do you know this? Do you know that I have the same amount and the same Holy Spirit available to me that was available to Dr. Jack Hiles, to Billy Sunday, to John Rice, to Lester Roloff, to Charles Spurgeon, to whatever name you want to name? Do you know it is the same Holy Spirit and the same amount is available to me as was available to them? By the way, same amount's available to you too. God said in Isaiah chapter 61, he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. It didn't say all preacher flesh. It didn't say all adult flesh. It didn't say all male flesh. It said all flesh. That means every man, every woman, every child, every teenager has the same Holy Spirit available to them as is available to any other human being that has ever trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The same amount. Well, you know, kids, they just don't get along. It's because they're not spiritual. It's a spiritual issue. Okay, that didn't go over real well. Here we go. Number one, when we get the Holy Spirit at salvation, we get the Holy Spirit at salvation, but that does not mean we receive or accept his influence. When Jesus said here, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," he said, look, you're already saved. He's already indwelling you, but you need to accept, you need to yield to his influence in your life. The word receive is in what they call the linear or the durative tense. That means this. Once you got saved, the Holy Spirit's there forever. You only have to get saved one time. You don't receive the Holy Spirit one time and have his full influence forever. If we all loaded up, went down to Ryan's or Golden Corral and ate, that would not be the last meal you ever eat the rest of your life. You say, that's stupid, Brother Bush. Person's got to eat on a regular basis. You're right. Some of you eat a lot on a regular basis. Some of us ate on a regular basis too much before, not allowed to eat on a regular basis anymore. But whatever the case, you don't eat one time and you're done eating forever. So when you eat, that is in the linear tense. You eat, and then you eat, and then you eat, and then you... Man, I love this sermon. you eat, and you eat. That's why when God said, ask, and ye shall... Seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given unto you, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are all in the linear or the durative sense. You ask and you ask and you ask and you ask and you ask. You knock and you knock and you knock. You seek and you seek and you seek. The word receive is in the same tense. It is a Greek tense, and that means receive and receive and receive and receive. You yield and yield, and yield, and yield, and yield. Now, this means you have to keep doing the action. It's not one and done. Let me show you what I mean. I'm going to illustrate it two ways. I literally have nobody in mind, but these were two very good illustrations of this. Let's say a couple gets married who both or one of them have had children prior to this marriage. They get married. Now, a child or children have a new dad or a new mom, possibly even new brothers or sisters. They are living in the same house. That does not mean they have been accepted. You see, the husband and wife may do love each other, but there's a chance one of those children or more of those children don't love that new step-parent like they're supposed to. Can they live in the same house? Yes, they can. Do they have to live in the same house? Most of the time, yes. Life becomes peaceful and life becomes productive when that one who has not yet accepted the new person in the home begins to accept them. Once you finally say, "That's it, I'll accept you," it's amazing what happens. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say a couple, one of the parents gets to the point where they cannot care for themselves and they move one of the parents in. Let's use a mother-in-law. If my mother-in-law gets to the point she cannot care for herself, and by the way, I told her this over 20 years ago. I said, "Mom, I'll take care of you the rest of your life. It does not matter. If you want to come now, I'll take care of you." Thank God she said no. No, I'm teasing. I do love my mother-in-law. I really do. But if she comes to live in my home, but I don't pay her any attention, I tolerate her. I may even take care of her. I take care of her financially. But until I accept her being there, there's a big difference.
Boy, that's good.
When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in. Let me ask you a question. How much have you accepted of him? Some of you are living, and please pardon the crudeness of the statement, but you're treating the Holy Spirit like a red-headed stepchild. Some of you, he lives in your house, but you have yet to accept him. Everybody doing okay?
Yes. That's good.
You see, by the way, you need to keep accepting him. Just like at every... you don't eat one time, guess what? You have to keep accepting the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like when you first get married. Y'all are still learning each other. There was a time where, you know, if she burnt the biscuits, you said, "It's okay, honey. I like burnt biscuits." You've been married so long now, you say, "Throw them stupid things out. Let's go get some real food." That would have been offensive 20 years ago. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You've accepted the person now. You can get away with it because of the acceptance. Now, you might go to Popeyes and get beat on a little bit, but you're not going to break your teeth on burnt biscuits. That did not happen in my home, just so you know. What she feeds me, I will swallow. I don't care. And you can ask her. Most frustrating question She never gets an answer to from me is this: "What do you want to eat?" "It does not matter. You put it out there, I'll eat it." I ate something for 15 years before she found out I didn't like it. I mean, 15 years. She said, "You never told me that." I said, "You didn't ask? And I can eat it." I was telling one of my kids one night at the table, "Shut up and eat it. I don't like it either." But I thought, "Oh, what'd you do that for?" Thought I, all these years, you know, "Shut up, just push it down the hatch. I don't like it either." "You don't? Oh, man, that was a hole really deep to get out of. It's easier to come home with a chainsaw cut on your kneecap than to do that, let me tell you." Folks, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Why don't you accept him? Why don't you yield to him? By the way, it's not this fun and games light show that goes on. He moved inside you. It's time to accept him, time to love him, and time to yield to him. Number two, saved people were told in the scriptures to receive the Holy Spirit. Notice the word, saved people were told. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we're going to read a couple verses here. Acts chapter 19. We're about to get to the good part. Hang on. Point number three. I'm about to have a spell. I took two glory laps around the building the other day on this one. Acts chapter 19. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Look at me. "Have ye received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, since ye believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost." Wow. God had Paul come to these people and said, "Look, folks, after you got saved, have you not yielded to the Holy Spirit, to the Holy Ghost?" They said, "We didn't even know there was one." Therefore, they didn't get saved, listen to this, knowing that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You can be saved and not know you're filled. Did you catch that? He indwells you. He comes inside the moment you get saved. You're not going to understand that. But can I tell you something? To receive him after you've been saved means you've got to start yielding to him, acknowledging him, and going to that buffet to get what he has for you. Take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses here together. I'm going to help you here. Verse number 1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Look at me. I'm going to use a term here. Somebody might get upset with me, but it'll illustrate it well. He was talking to the Pentecostals here. Now, they weren't around for another 1,500 years. But he said, "Look, you got saved by faith. How can you get the Holy Spirit by works?" He said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Yield to the Holy Spirit. You don't yield to him by your works. You yield to him so you can do your works. You don't get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and proof of it, you start speaking in tongues. Charismatics are wrong when they say that speaking in tongues is a proof of the filling of the Holy Spirit. No. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled you. You got all of him. You yield to him to do certain works. Now, it was not for salvation. It was for God to help you in the work. The Holy Spirit fills people. He does not fill buildings, and he does not fill programs. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit fills people. He empowers people. He does not empower buildings. He does not empower programs. The church auditorium is not a sanctuary. Churches that call their auditorium a sanctuary do that because it's the only thing holy there, because they don't preach the doctrine of salvation for the Holy Spirit to indwell the believers. Everybody doing all right? That's why we don't have the stained glass and the long-haired hippie pictures of Jesus and all the other things around. Say, why? It's not the building, it's the people. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? It's not the church building. Now, I believe this is God's house. I believe we ought to treat God's house the right way. If you were going to have God come over to your house, ladies, how would you clean it? I'd have Mrs. Hess come with her 55-gallon drum of bleach, amen? we're putting a new budget item in, deacons, next year. Bleach fund. No. That was pretty good, wasn't it, Rick? You think I'm kidding. This is God's house. I believe we ought to treat it right. I don't think we ought to mistreat the furniture. I think we ought to be careful. This place is not holy, but I think we ought to treat it right. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't think it's wise for us to let our kids let church be a playground. I really don't. It's not a playground. Now, it's a big building. It's got some wide open spaces. Let them run in the wide open space. That's fine. Not where the people are going to be, though. I don't think we ought to be... You can do what you want. At my house, my kids didn't use the furniture as a trampoline. Say, why? Because that was the only furniture we had, and I didn't have the money to go buy more. Well, this is God's furniture. We ought to take care of it. I don't think it's wise to have the children up here. This is God's sacred desk. I don't stand behind this pulpit in off hours irreverently. Man, I can't even say that word. I don't get up here and make a mockery of it when you're not here. How's that sound? If I'm behind this pulpit when nobody's here, I'm usually praying. I don't generally just walk up onto the platform unless there's a purpose for it. I believe it's reserved. It's sanctified for a certain purpose. I do that personally. That doesn't mean it's holy, just so you know. God's not going to strike you with lightning because you did. But I think there's a certain respect that needs to take place. Everybody doing all right? I'm going to really probably get somebody ticked off here, but so be it. The Holy Spirit does not fill children and teen programs. He fills children and teenagers. Awana is not filled with the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, in 1992, Awana started using other versions of the Bible. Awana is not anything that this church will ever have. I don't even bring the advertisements for it into the building. It gets to the dumpster. I go to the dumpster before I come into the building with the advertisements for it. Say, oh, that was such a good program. Not when they started changing on God. Say, I don't think you should use names. Okay, don't. I will. Awana's of the devil, not God. You start changing the word of God, how can you teach boys and girls to be filled with the Spirit of God? Everybody doing all right? Adding rock music and wrong versions to teen programs and letting them grow their hair long and play drums and guitars and jamming out rock music is not a way to reach young people God's way, and it's not Spirit-filled. Say, what reaches teenagers? Soul winning, going to church, getting mom and dad on fire for God, youth activities, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night church, and young people that have a walk with God on their own and are filled with the Spirit of God and yield to Him on a regular basis. Boy, that's good stuff. Here we go. Bible colleges are not empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. People are. Everybody doing okay? I graduated from Bible college. Bible colleges are not filled with the Spirit of God. The people in there are to be. TV shows, radio shows, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter is not a substitute for the house of God. Hate to tell you something. That's not your assembly. Your called out assembly. Boy, I'm having fun. I gotta hurry here. Number one, we get the Holy Spirit at salvation, but that does not mean we receive or accept His influence. Number two, saved people were told in the Scripture to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, number three, and I'll finish. Don't get your shoes on yet. God tells us to try the spirits, to prove them, to see if they are of the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bible, 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Now we're about to have a spell. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, by the way, that word beloved, that's not to lost people, that's to saved people. Beloved, believe not every, what's the next word? Capital or small? Okay, look at me. That's man's spirit. That's not the Holy Spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, small s, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look at me, if you will. God's spirit must align with his word, or it is not God's spirit. Well, you're just trying to play God. No, I'm not. But I can help you understand if a decision is spiritual or not. What does that book say? What does that book say? If it's not in agreement with that book, it is not of the Spirit of God. Period. Well, preacher, I wanna marry this guy, but he's not saved. Don't do it. I don't have to even ask. God said, what communion hath light with darkness? And it's in reference to marriage. Say, well, I know somebody and it worked out. For every one you show me that worked out, I'll show you 500 that it didn't work out. Guaranteed. I'll give you the list. Promise you. By the way, circumstances don't mean it's the word of God. Well, I did this and this aligned up and this aligned up and this aligned up. So God was opening doors. Did you know the devil can open doors too? That's why God said, try the spirits to see whether they are of God. By the way, those spirits are other people. That's why it said small s. Everybody paying attention? Well, I know a certain preacher. A preacher is a man, small s. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's why I'm not sitting down with the local ministerial association. They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in the flesh, paid the price, shed blood, death, burial, resurrection, received by faith only to get to heaven. Guess what? I'm not sitting down with them. Their spirit is not of God, it's of Antichrist. I didn't say they were bad people. I am telling you their spirit is not spiritual with God. It's not in alignment with that book. Not sitting down with the Muslims because it's a peaceful religion. Hey, where's the peace at? Say, somebody's going to get mad at you. Good. Let's try the spirits. See whether they're of God. God's, and don't get mad at me. I can show you this in this book here, but God's spirit will be in agreement with the man of God. A man of God filled with the Spirit of God, who is walking in the Spirit of God, who is to know the Word of God. Guess what? He can help you know what God says. That's why somebody that's not using the right Bible can't help you. I said this a little while ago. I was talking about children's programs and teen programs. That goes for Christian school curriculums. I think you got to be careful. Well, we believe the King James was inspired in the originals. Those people stay away from, because they don't believe that book right there. I don't care what anybody says. Most Christian schools get their curriculums from neo-evangelicals. Well, they're Baptistic in doctrine. No, they're not. Man, you can hear a pin drop in here tonight. We got carpet now. I refuse to let my daughter have school curriculum that doesn't line up with that book. Period. She's homeschooled right now. Guess what? Every once in a while, she's had an assignment, and I changed the assignment. And it's a good curriculum. I just didn't like the direction it was going. It was asking things that I feel unwise. I didn't just take it away and not make her do something. I replaced it with something better. Everybody doing all right? I have that prerogative as the overseer of her curriculum. By the way, it's my responsibility too. My responsibility. Why do we think that somebody who's never been a Baptist knows how to educate children better than a Baptist preacher in the Word of God? I hate to tell you, I have taught more people than the people that wrote most of the curriculums that you use. I might as well just go ahead and shoot my wad. Most of you parents graduated from high school at best. Some of you have a college education. I've taught at the elementary, junior high, high school, and college levels for many, many, many years. I have been preaching for 34 years. I have instructed more people than everybody in this room combined, I'll promise you. I think I know a little bit more about education than the average person. I'm not telling you I'm an expert. But I will tell you this. I do know more about your children's curriculum than you do. And I don't care which one you're using. I could help you with it. I could tell you where it's strong, where it's weak. I don't think there's any one curriculum that is perfect, except that one. Say why? Because that's the only perfect book there is, just so you know. But when people get up and shake your faith, when your curriculums teach you that lost people are good Christian heroes, I have a problem with that. Everybody doing all right? Okay, moving on. God's Spirit cannot lead you if you are not following Him. The buffet is available. But if you are not following Him, as I said last week, if you discourage the encourager, He will not lead you. Everybody look in my little God-given eyeballs for a second here. Bad things happen. And I hear people say, why did God allow this to happen? Sometimes it wasn't God that allowed it to happen. Man would not let God have what God wanted to do. Did you catch that? God doesn't come down and force anybody to do anything. You have to be willing to follow. He'll let you screw up your life if you want to. He made the buffet available. He's not going to get up and go get it for you and shove it down the hatch for you. Therefore, when you rebel at what that book says and do what you want over what God says, He cannot lead you. Oh, I just can't give up my cigarettes. Yes, you can. Follow what that book says, you'll give it up every time. Yield the Holy Spirit, you can give it up every time. You doing it in flesh or doing it in a spiritual battle? By the way, not obeying the commands of God, how can you obey Him any other way? Don't get mad at me. Some of you are struggling in your marriage, in your love for one another, but let me ask you the first question. How's your walk with God? How's your soul winning? Some of you struggle loving your kids or your kids loving you. Let me ask you a question. How's your walk with God, mom or dad? Let me ask you a question, boys and girls. How is your personal walk with God right now? I just don't like what my daddy said. Let's get down on our knees and talk to God about it and see what God says right now. I don't want to do that. Why? Because you're not right with God, that's why. How about being honest? Some of you can't tell yourself the truth. I was talking to someone recently, and I said, the hardest thing I have to do is tell myself the truth. I can lie to myself real good. I really can. Monday when I cut my leg with a chainsaw, I had to make a decision. It really wasn't that bad. I thought, I really could keep on going. And I'll be honest with you. I stopped for a moment. I said to myself, Holy Spirit, what's the wise thing to do? And I saw every one of your faces. And I thought, if I keep going and this thing gets infected, I'm down for a while and I cannot be to my people what I need to be. It's time to quit. I need to go take care of this so I can be what God needs me to be for the people that I've given my life to. So that's what I did. I wanted to work for a couple more hours. I was in a good rhythm. Well, obviously not too good. But we were humping it out, man. But it was time to be done. Say why? Because I asked the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, stupid, that was a warning shot. What are you going to do next? Good point, God. So what'd you do? I went home, cleaned it up, cleaned me up. While the boys unloaded the truck, I got done, went out, helped them carry the last few logs, got them home. Say, what'd you do the rest of the day? Went home and took care of it. Then we had a cookout, ate like pigs for a while. Say, why? Because you got to rejuvenate that spirit, amen? That's why God told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Huh. The Holy Spirit of God has more power available than any famous person has. Folks, I've met famous people. Can I tell you what? Most of them aren't worth meeting. As an assistant pastor in Long Beach, California, my pastor took me to Hollywood. I don't even really know why we were there. We ate in a restaurant, and Sylvester Stallone ate lunch as close as I am to that front row right there. You talk about a big pile of worthless nothing. That's how he is in real life.
Yo, Adrian.
He's no better. He's so stoned out on drugs and booze, it's not even funny. I met Tommy Lasorda. One of the most vile human beings I've ever met in my life is Tommy Lasorda, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. I witnessed to him. He said, Reverend, I'm Catholic. I said, I don't care what you are. I said, if you die without Christ, you're going to hell. He said, I'm going to hell then because baseball's more my God than anything. I said, you're right. You will die and go to hell. Vile. I've met them. How did you feel? Pity. Pity. They're so well known. Pity. God's power is better than fame. Being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God is more powerful than any movie star. Being yielded to the Holy Spirit is better than any education. I'm for education. I'm for people being able to read, write, and understand what they need to understand in life. But I've met some uneducated preachers that have more wisdom than PhDs. That uneducated guy thought PhD meant post hole digger or pretty heavy date. But he had more wisdom than that dude that had a lot of degrees after his name. I know people that have more degrees than they have temperature. And they're not real smart. They're not real wise. They don't have the power of God. I met a preacher one day that didn't get past fifth grade in school. He's building a church of 500 out in the country. I'll take that any day. Talk about a fiery preacher. If he stood here in this pulpit, he's not alive anymore. But if he stood in this pulpit right now, you'd think he's the hottest thing since sliced bread. Huh. Holy Spirit's better than money. Can I tell you something? I don't have to have a big bank account if I got the Holy Spirit. I got a buffet available to me. I got a buffet available. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's better than things. None of these things are bad to have. But when you put it over the Holy Spirit, it becomes a God. Some of you are sitting at the restaurant waiting for God to come to your table, take your order, go get it, make it, bring it to you, and spoon serve it to you. And I hate to tell you, that's not how it works. It's a buffet line. You make one payment on it, and by the way, you get in for free because Jesus paid it for you. The price was already paid. You just get to go up to the line, amen? By the way, you choose what you eat. You choose whether you're healthy. You choose whether you're going to spend the whole night at the dessert bar. You choose. I don't know about you. I want to get it all. When I go to a place, I try things that I haven't tried before. Now, a lot of you aren't that way, but I like trying new things. You know, there's very little I won't try. I've eaten things from nose to tails, stem to stern. I mean, I've eaten pig feet. I've eaten pig ears. I've eaten oxtail. I like liver. And I eat beef or chicken livers. Now, I don't like gizzards. Them things are too grisly. You got to chew too long. That's like a piece of gum, you know. No use in that. I run my jaws enough. I want to be able to swallow that puppy. You name it, I've probably eaten it. I've eaten just about every kind of fish, squid, crustacean. I don't like oysters. I want them cooked. Okay, I'm not going to eat them puppies raw. Down in South Carolina, they have them shucking things, and they can get a truckload of those things and sit there and just scoop them out of the shell, out of the ground. And brother, if it looks like that going down, it ain't going to stay down, all right? Some things need cooked. But I'll try it. I might not like it, but I can say I don't like it because I tried it, not because, ooh, that doesn't sound good. I've tried boiled okra once. We ain't doing that again. That's a bucket of snot with some BBs thrown in there. Now, you fry that puppy up, and it's good. I grow it, but you ain't boiling that mess. I just don't boil that stuff. Say why. I've tried it. I don't like it. I don't like greens. Oh, down in South Carolina, you walk into a house, and you smell this horrendous odor. They got greens and vinegar cooking on the stove. Gag. I tried. I walked into this lady's house and she said, oh, you got to try mine. They're the best in town. Can I tell you something? As soon as she turned her back, that dog ate them up for me. I know what he was going to do in the yard later, and good night. I didn't come back for a couple days. There ain't no way that was going down this mouth. I got one bite and thinking, now, wait a minute. I tried it. I can tell you I don't like it, not just because of the way it looks, but I tried it. Guess what? Some of you are afraid to try God. Well, I don't have the gift of soul winning. You don't know your Bible. That's a command. Well, I don't have the gift of this. Sometimes it's just a command. You got to jump out and obey. Sometimes you got to be just willing to do whatever God says. I can't tell you I've done everything in the ministry I was trained to do 25, 30 years ago. Matter of fact, most everything I was trained for 25, 30 years ago never happened to me. I got thrown into things way over my head. Say, what'd you do? Same book, same Holy Spirit. Just keep on going. Say, why? He put me in it. He gonna give me what I need to get through it. And we'll get there. Buffet line. God's not your maitre d' and your server. He brought you to the buffet. The Holy Spirit's there. Now you choose what you get. Every head bowed, every eye closed. It was in the linear tense. You yield, and you yield, and you yield. You receive, you receive, you receive. You accept, you accept. It's continual. Just like from meal to meal, it can be from moment to moment. How many of you would say, preacher, I have learned something, and there is something lacking in my life in reference to me and the Holy Spirit? Would you put your hand up for a moment? Would you let God see it? God bless you.